Open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. I'm going to read one verse and be as brief as I can. I'm going to read one verse. I'll read lots of others here in a few minutes, but I'm going to start off with one verse. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. And you find your place, let me invite you to stand. I promise you, you won't stand long. If you're physically able, though, stand with me for a few minutes. And let me read just one verse. All right. Verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for your help this morning to just encourage your people to maybe open their eyes to some things that they may not be aware of, but Father, either way, that you would minister to the needs that they have in their hearts that I may not even know about. Lord, I pray that you would be honored here above all else. Fill me with your spirit. I pray you'd bind the strong man, bind Satan. Lord, we are indeed trying to take his house, spoil his house. So, Father, I pray that you would bind him up. And Father, remove all distractions from our midst, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. What a very concise, powerful verse, and especially on the eve of our 240th birthday as a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. From what I can tell here in this verse, then, the difference between one nation and another nation really boils down to the lifestyles represented by the people in those nations. The lifestyles represented or lived by the people in those nations. Righteousness is really, simply put, is doing right. Walking uprightly. Look in verse 2 of the same chapter. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Who's that him? The Lord, Jesus, exactly. God Almighty. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. He that doeth right, in other words, he that is righteous and doeth right, walking in his uprightness, feareth the Lord. But the opposite of that is also true. He that is perverse, crooked, twisted, sinful in his ways, despiseth the Lord. Righteousness is more clearly understood when you contrast it to sin, really. Sin is disobedience of God's law. So obviously the Bible says here, that person who's perverse in his ways despises the Lord. You cannot despise, hey, let me tell you something. You cannot separate God from His Word. You cannot separate Jesus from His Word. And if you say that you love the Lord, but yet you don't live by this book, you're a liar. You don't know what love is, because you cannot separate God from His Word. And the Bible, plain right there, says that if that person who does not walk in uprightness according to the Bible despises the Lord. Well, I love the Lord, but I just don't care what the Bible says. That's not possible. Because sin is a disobedience of God's Word. So going back to verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation. The word exalt means to lift it up. It means to promote it. Hey, can I tell you, it means to strengthen it. It means to bring honor to it. It means to even hold it up once it's there. So not only does not only did righteousness give us America, the country that we enjoy today, but only righteousness is going to hold it up like it should be. Not only is it the basis of our nation, because, listen, righteousness is the reason that we have a country today. Righteousness, not, I didn't say perfection, but I said walking uprightly in the fear of the Lord is what our founding fathers all agreed upon. Every one of them. They weren't all Baptists. They weren't all even saved, unfortunately. But you know what? what I believe, again, from the history of our nation and from the history of this country and knowing and understanding the Bible, that even a lost man can walk uprightly. Now, that doesn't seem possible today, but you know, a lost man can still fear the Lord to the point of walking uprightly, which means walking honestly, which means living with integrity. God blesses righteousness. God gave us a country because the men who were responsible for the beginning of our country believed in fearing God. They believed in walking uprightly. They believed in being honest. They believed in living their lives above board, above reproach, because sin is a reproach to any people. Can I tell you? Sin is a reproach to a lost man. Sin is a reproach to a saved man. Sin is a reproach to anybody. Exalt means to lift up, to honor, to make taller even. To promote, to strengthen. Reproach is everything opposite. It means to bring shame. It means to bring embarrassment. It means to take down. It means to demote and weaken. So obviously, a nation is really the result of the lifestyles, as I said originally, of the people within that nation. Whether that nation is strong and held up and strengthened by God, it depends on the lifestyles of the people within that nation. Having defined then these words, we have a clear picture here of what our verse is saying. Listen, doing right strengthens a nation. Doing right strengthens a nation. Living in direct disobedience to God's word brings shame and weakens a nation. Our nation was strong when it stood for right. Our nation was strong when people lived right. When the Bible was important. When church was priority. When raising our children according to the Bible was important to us. When right was right and wrong was wrong. And the definition of those two words came from the Bible. See, that's important. Because today you're going to have people tell you, well, this right, but what are they using to define right? And what are they using to define wrong? But when we take the definition of right and wrong from God's Word, and we live according to righteousness from the Bible, listen, God promotes that nation. And God has promoted us to a strong nation because God's Word is always true and God cannot lie. God, listen, God made us a world power and we still are today. God exalted us to world power. Because there were a group of people who decided that they wanted to walk uprightly and live righteous lives. And listen, and live in fear of the Lord. I don't have time to preach on that. That's another subject. But God made us a world power because of the reverence and the fear for God's word that was found in our forefathers, which was portrayed in their lives and in their homes. The integrity that they lived with, the righteousness exalted a nation called America. Sad to say, however, sin has weakened us more and more. Sin has made us vulnerable to the attacks now of terrorists for many years. And these terrorists come from weaker nations. These terrorists come from nations that are weaker in their in their financial condition. They're weaker in their even their population. They're smaller. They are weaker nations. But listen to me. God says sin will always weaken any people. And sin has weakened our country and made us vulnerable to the attacks, for example, of 9/11 and so on. Our nation celebrates its independence tomorrow, as I mentioned earlier, 240 years old. Uncle Sam done got old. He done got, quite frankly, ancient. I want to turn over to Luke chapter 15. I'll show you something interesting the Lord showed me earlier as I was preparing this message. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Our nation celebrates its independence tomorrow. But let me say something to you. We must never become independent of God. There's a big difference. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, Jesus speaking here, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. I want to point out something here interesting. The story of the prodigal son, many of you have heard this parable. I want you to notice something with me, however. You know what happened to this young man? Is he wanted his independence. Now pay attention. He wanted to be out from under his father. That's independence, is where you're no longer dependent upon something that you were dependent upon in the past. Now, independence of America, our nation's independence, was an independence from the nation of Britain, England. That's why we call it Independence Day, the birth of a nation where our forefathers came out of the country of Britain, and they came to the shores of America, and then they declared their independence from that nation, from the nation of England. Now listen to me, however, we must understand that they never declared or even assumed or even desired to be ever independent of God. Amen. What happened to the prodigal son here in this story is he wanted his independence, but he wanted his independence from the wrong thing. He wanted to be independent of his father. He wanted to be independent of all authority. Amen. What's going on here in Luke chapter 11, 15, verses 11 through 15, is that this young man thinks he wants his independence. Then he takes that independence and he goes out, and the Bible says that he wasted his life. Why? Because he wanted independence from the wrong person. Independence Day in America is not what most people think of independence. Independence in America, listen to me, is not that we are all of a sudden a free bird. No. It means that we are independent of any other nation's authority, but we are 100% always and forever must understand that we are dependent upon an Almighty God. Amen. However, sin has weakened that. Sin has brought that down. What happened to the prodigal son? Well, he began to live in sin. Hey, listen to me. He began to live in sin because he got out from under the authority that God had placed over him, and he got out. And by the way, that was always this book. You read the history, the real history of our country, and those men understood that we must govern our nation based on this Bible. We must not ever try to do anything that goes outside of the confines of this Bible. This Bible was the founding authority of our nation, the very Word of God. And they understood that we dare try to govern a nation without God, we are fools. It will never happen. But the young man here in Luke chapter 15 did not understand that. He got out from underneath the authority in his life. That's exactly what's happening to America. America has become independent, but they are trying to become independent now of even God. The average person has no fear of God at all. The average person has no understanding of the values of righteousness. A righteousness exalteth a nation. Walking uprightly, living honestly with integrity and with moral values and with manners. Dear God, let me say something about manners right there. Why is it old-fashioned to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir? Well, I don't know, because people are trying to get out from under everything that's righteous. I'll just stop there for a minute. Y'all can chew on that if you'd like. Those old-fashioned values that once used to govern mom and dad at the house, and the hard work ethic that mom and dad used to instill in their children. Why? Where'd that come from? It came from righteousness exalting a nation. And now, though, however, sin has weakened us to such a degree that we're slopping hogs. That's what the young man ended up doing. He joined himself, notice in verse 15, to a citizen of that country. Now, I'm hurrying here because I've got a lot to say, but I wanted you to see Luke chapter 15 and how this mirrors America today. Give me my independence. Then when he got it, listen, then he left the authority and began wasting his life. You don't believe that that's happening? You come down here with me on Saturday and we'll go visit some of our bus kids. I'll show you the wasted lives that are all a result of sin. There's no other excuse or no other reason for the wasted lives of our country's children today other than sin. Sin. And can I tell you something? Forget about the names of the sins. Forget about the number of sin. It's the nature of sin that weakens a nation. Because it's flat out complete rebellion against God. Amen. That's what sin is. Sin weakens everything that it touches. You know, as I was putting this together, God began to make me see some things. Some reasons behind our gradual weakening and the degrading of our nation as a whole. And I want to give you these today just for your own information, your own knowledge, and so you can maybe be a little wiser, and hopefully by the time we're done, you'll love righteousness a little bit more. God's people ought to love righteousness. You ought not to try to walk as close to unrighteousness as you can and to get away with it. Let me say that again. You ought not to try to walk as close to unrighteousness as you can and still get away with it. Because you're toying with weakening your home and your family, your marriage, your children, your life in general. You're toying with sin. And God's people ought to love righteousness. God's people ought to crave righteousness. Because the lack of righteousness, which is sin, does nothing but weaken everyone around it. Quickly, how did our nation get to where it's at? It started with indiscretion. Indiscretion is a careless lifestyle. Listen, without wisdom, without prudence, without discernment due to rebellion. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 21:30. The Bible says there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. So when we begin to go away from God and do what we know is wrong against the Lord, the Bible says we will have no wisdom, we'll have no understanding, and we'll be no counsel. We won't receive any counsel. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Listen to me. A prudent man is a man who has some discernment, who can discern between right and wrong, who can discern between good and evil. But see, total apostasy from the Word of God, which just means putting it aside and rebelling against it and living in our own ways and doing our own thing, began putting our country in a state of indiscretion, where we did not have wisdom. We did not make wise choices, like you heard last Sunday night, which, by the way, was a very good message. You should have listened. But that's what happens in America. That's what happens in a nation that lives in sin, which is rebellion against God. And when we try to live against the Lord, we have no wisdom. There's no prudence. And the Bible says a prudent man foreseeth the evil and says, wait a minute, I'm not going that way. But the simple pass on and are punished. There's no wisdom. So the first step in this degradation of our country was that we put aside the Word of God, took it out of school, took it out of the government, and it led to great indiscretion. We're now, this world, our country, calls good evil and evil good. Amen. It started with indiscretion. I mean, I'm astounded at the lack of wisdom that even Christians have today. It's all because our country is so sinful. Indiscretion is where, but listen to me, second step in this degradation, this downward spiral, is infiltration. Now listen to me. Numbers 33 verse 55 says, God told His people, if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes. Now, does anyone want to take a needle and stick it in your eyeball? Let me find one for you. Who's the first volunteer? That's the lack of wisdom I'm talking about, young man. I'm just playing. But listen, God says if you don't get rid of those inhabitants of the land, they're going to be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. The word vex means they just utterly frustrate you day in and day out every day. Thorns in your side, pricks in your eyeballs, and vexation every day of your life. Now God says, if you don't drive out the inhabitants of that land from before you. Now wait a minute. What is God talking about? God's talking about you cannot let them infiltrate your land. Now, I'm telling you one thing. The indiscretion has led to infiltration. We now have open borders that allow anybody and everybody to come live in America. Hold on now, I'm not a politician, but this is Bible. We have let the Muslims live next door to us. We have let the Catholics come in. We've let the Hindus come in. We've let the other doctrines and other creeds from other nations that don't even know what the Bible is, much less read it. They don't even know who Jesus is. They deny Jesus. They openly deny Christ. But yet we are letting them infiltrate our schools, our neighborhoods, our churches, our everything in our country has been infiltrated because we have no discretion about who's right and who's wrong, who's dangerous and who's not. So now we're infiltrated. We've got terrorists living next door, flying our airplanes. You might remember that day. We let in other doctrines and other creeds across our borders. We let other doctrines and other creeds openly display their filthy living in our living rooms, on our television. Are you listening to me? See, no discretion, no wisdom, no prudence. We don't foresee the evil. We just, well, that looks like a good show. Let's watch that. And yet the actors are Buddhist, Muslim, Catholic, and you go watch their movies and pay good money to sit in front of their movies. See, our country has been infiltrated because of no discretion, because of no righteousness. So now we're infiltrated by other doctrines, other religions, who do not fear God. They don't even believe in God. They're praying to some other God. Or the Hindus pray to about 1,400 different gods. We let them in our borders. We let them in our living rooms. We let them in our ears. Through the things they say, their teachings on the internet, their music. So we let them infiltrate with their doctrines and their creeds. We let them infiltrate with their philosophies. Listen to me. Our universities that used to preach the gospel are now preaching human and philosophies. Because we had no discretion and we let them infiltrate every aspect of our country. And sin is a reproach to any people. So we've let them infiltrate our classrooms, teaching from our elite universities that God may not even exist. That Jesus was a good man, a good teacher, but that's it. And many of them just flat out deny God's existence altogether. Atheism is now approved religion in America. Now, that's what I'm talking about. No discretion. We've allowed infiltration. Our homes, our schools, even our churches anymore are just allow anybody and everybody to stand up and say whatever they want to say, spew out their humanistic philosophies, and we just think that everything's great. Because we have no discretion. Because sin has weakened our nation. I mean, you talk about, well, let's not talk about politics today. We talk about indiscretions where it started. No wisdom at all. Put the Bible away. Put prayer away. Forget about preaching. Forget about teaching. Let's just live lives our way. So everything and everybody began to infiltrate. Listen, and then it led to idolatry. Because of the infiltration of many ungodly and idolatrous nations via the borders or television or just all kinds of technology. I mean, you can get on the internet and you can find anything and everything you want. But what's the thing is, you go looking for somebody, like you go do a search for, okay, you know, who's right and who's wrong when it comes to religion. Well, who are you going to read? I mean, who's writing that you're reading? How do you know who you're reading? How do you know who he or she even really believes? Listen, but see, we trust the internet before we trust the Bible. We look to Google before we look to God's Word. We look to Facebook before we get our face in the book. Because we have no discretion. And we've allowed everything and anything and everything that wants to come into our lives. Oh yeah, it's all good. Yoga, just anything, everything. It's good. It's wonderful. It's healthy. It's evil. It's wicked. So infiltration leads to idolatry. Not only do we begin to let them come in, we begin to embrace what they teach, what they believe. Are you listening to me today? And I hope this is not boring to you. If this is boring to you, then either you're just already on board, which is great, I hope so, or you're just not caring. But either way, I hope that you'll listen for a few minutes on purpose, because maybe God can help you anyway. But the fact is, if we're indiscreet, where we don't have any discernment, we'll just let anybody and everybody come in, and we'll not... By the way, God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. Separate. But then we let them in, and we begin to embrace their religions. We begin to embrace their philosophies. We begin to embrace what they think. And then, listen, America has become an idolatrous nation. An idolatrous nation is a nation that serves and chases after and follows after many gods. I'm not talking about, there's only one living God, but you understand what I mean. Lowercase little g gods. Exodus 23 says, in all things that I have said unto you, but be circumspect. That means be very careful. Be very discreet. Make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Amen. Now that's Bible. Amen. But yet we don't know it. We don't have any discretion because we don't know the Bible. God says, don't even mention the name of their gods. Don't even talk about it. not let be heard out of thy mouth. Deuteronomy 6:14, God says, ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Do I need to stop there? Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. Listen to me, church. I'm just going to read you some scripture here now. Pay attention, because God knows exactly what happens to his people when they let false teachers and false doctrine and evil infiltrate their lives. Joshua 23:16 says, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and gone and served other gods. See, you don't just start serving other gods overnight. You do it when you start leaving the Bible to the side and doing what you want to do. You will eventually become an idolater. Period. Mark it down. You will sooner or later start serving and following after other gods. When you start transgressing the law of God, and gone and served other gods, and bowed yourself to them. You said, I'll never bow myself to no idols. I don't have time to preach on all of this. I just want you to hear this. But when you choose them over God, when you do what the other God says instead of what God says, you're bowing to them. That's what idolatry is. That's what idolatry is. You bow yourself to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. You think God's upset with America? You shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want this to happen. I don't long for it. But just because we're Americans, we're not promised to never have to go through persecution. We're not promised, just because we're Americans, we're Christians, and we'll go to heaven, yeah. But there's no guarantee that America is going to be here forever. And I guarantee you, if we continue down the road we are today, God's anger is going to be kindled greatly against this country. Sin is a reproach to any people. God says in 1 Kings 14:9, thou but hast done evil above all that were before thee. Every generation is getting a little bit worse. Every generation is loving the pleasures of sin a little bit more. Thou hast done evil above all that were before thee. Thou hast gone and made thee other gods, molten images, to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. It's as if we don't even have any regard for God anymore. It starts with indiscretion. It leads to infiltration, which leads to idolatry. It shall be answered because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore, listen, hath he brought all this evil upon them. God bless America, land that I love. And you know, that's our prayer. God, please keep blessing America. But God can't go against his word. And sin is weakening our nation. Sin has made us an idolatrous people. There are any number of people right now who are doing whatever they want to do instead of sitting in this pew. Amen. And they're saved. That's idolatry. I said, that's idolatry. Amen. Jeremiah 35 says, I have sent also unto you, listen now, God says, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, the preachers, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way. The preachers crying out to the people, come back to God, amend your doings, go not after other gods to serve them, and you shall dwell in the land which I have given you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. The pressure is great in a country like this to stop crying out against sin from this pulpit. The pressure is great in a country that has allowed infiltration of all and everything under the sun and become idolatrous. And God said, but yet I'm still going to send you preachers to cry out against that sin and to call you back to myself. That's the only reason you're here. Because God somehow got a hold of your heart through the preaching of His Word. Through a soul winner who preached to you personally, but somehow or another, God called you back out of your idolatrous ways, out of your indiscretion, and you got a hold of the truth, and you came back to God. And that's why you're here. Indiscretion led to infiltration, which has led to idolatry, which, let me say, the next step in this fearful downward spiral is immorality. See, this idolatry has led in our country, in every country, it always will, to very much immorality. Worshipping the God of your choice always results in immorality. Let me say that again. Worshipping the God of your choice will always result in immorality. The vast majority of our children are born out of wedlock in America. Men and women live together now as if it was no big deal. You know, even 20 years ago, that people knew, that's just not right. But now it's just no big deal. The sodomites now are free to live their life however they want to live. Openly. They parade through the streets. Can you imagine having a King James Bible parade? Why not? Well, probably because they wouldn't even let us. Because we're to this or to that. But yet the sodomites, with all of their banners and rainbow garbage, can just parade down the streets of any city in America. Why? Because of indiscretion, which has led to infiltration, which has led to idolatry, which has now led to gross immorality. Let's go have a Baptist Church, King James Bible, Gospel Preaching Parade.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
They won't even let us. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, they professed themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man. Birds. You know, I was thinking about, as I was preparing this and meditating on this a little bit, we've got people who go to battle in courts over trees. They fight for the birds, the nests, the trees, the plants, and the flowers, and all the while, their children are going straight to hell. In America. They worship the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, I don't know. I'm telling you what, anything can become an idol. By the way, it's okay to just step on a spider.
Amen.
Listen, go ahead and hate me. It's okay to step on a spider.
Amen.
It's okay to kill a cockroach.
Amen.
Good night. So y'all are further in this than you thought. But also, wherefore, because of that idolatry, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, listen, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, what do you think that means? Exactly what you think it means. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. God said, okay, go ahead. You want your idolatry? Go ahead. But it's going to lead to gross immorality. I want to tell you, indiscretion, infiltration, idolatry, and gross immorality, that's where we're at today. And I believe the source of it all, quickly and I'm done, the source of it all is indifference. Indifference. We just don't care what God says. A national, overall, national indifference to God's Word. This is what made us different than the other nations. And now we let them come in and they're trying to tell us how to govern our country and how to worship our God and how we should have church and how we shouldn't have church. This is still our standard, church. This is still our standard of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness as long as we do it by the Word of God.
Amen.
This is our standard. But Americans, as a whole, have become indifferent to the Bible. They become indifferent to God's Word. They become indifferent to God's will. What happened to that young boy, that prodigal son? Is he got out of God's will. He did what he wanted to do. He did what he thought was best. He did what looked good. He made a very bad choice. And he got out of God's hedge of protection. And he got out in the world and in sin. And he wasted his life because he was indifferent to the fact that God had a will for his life. And God has a will and a plan for your life. And it's not to do whatever you want to do. It's not to spread your wings and fly. It's to live according to the righteousness of God's Word.
Amen.
That's what it is. But we become indifferent to God's will. I mean, you shouldn't make decisions based on what you think. You should make decisions based on, well, God, what is your will for my life? Will my decision take me away from church? It's not God's will. Will my decision take me away from God's Word? Will my decision take me away from God's clean and pure righteous living? Will my decision take me away from God? But see, we're just indifferent to that. We make decisions based on finances and family pressure and all kinds of. But listen, we have to understand that if we're going to have a strong nation, we've got to keep living according to the righteousness of God's Word and His will. God's will is always right.
Amen.
God's will is always right. I don't have time to preach on what God's will is for every one of you, but it's very specific in the Bible if you'll get in there and stop being indifferent to it. If God says this is His will for you, then you must understand that without it, you're weakening your whole life.
Amen.
To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But we're just indifferent. America as a whole is indifferent to God's Word, indifferent to God's will, and indifferent to God's work. Hey, listen to me. God's work for us is still to be witnesses. Oh, I didn't get a whole lot of hearty amens there. But that's what's wrong with America. God's will and God's work for Christians is to be witnesses and spread the gospel to all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. America used to be the strongest missionary sending country, but it's not anymore. We have degraded over the past 20 years. We're not sending out half as many missionaries as we used to. Churches are dropping their soul winning programs because nobody will come. Listen to me, my friend. You can do what you want, but we are still going to be a soul winning church.
Amen.
And if you'll get right with God, you can get involved.
Amen.
Amen. But that's okay. I know you don't want to hear that preaching. And you're going to go home and just do whatever you want to do. But that's the reason our country's in the condition it's in. Because you're indifferent to what God says. Well. Indifference. Instead of preaching Jesus to them, would bring them into our country, and we're teaching them the way of the heathen and all the societies of the world that we embrace now in our country. We're indifferent to what God says, to God's will, and to God's work. Now, y'all liked everything until I got to this point. Y'all were excited about it. You just said, yeah, that's right, preacher, that's right. You preach it, amen. Those folks need to get right. Wait a minute. Me? Yeah, you. You. Your indifference is just going to cause you to take another message, shut your Bible, and go home, and nothing changes at all. And that's the reason we're where we're at today. If one of you would just get serious about doing God's will and make whatever changes you need to make to trust God and obey God, you will see that that righteousness will strengthen your family, strengthen your life, and you will be a stronger Christian. Because righteousness exalted the nation. But your indifference to what I'm saying today is going to weaken your family. It's going to weaken your life. It's going to weaken your marriage. And by the way, it weakens your church. It weakens your church. Our hope is righteousness, church. Our hope is righteousness still today. That God may once again exalt our nation. Maybe God can't look around and find righteousness everywhere, but dear God, I would sure want to know that when He looks down on Amazing Grace Baptist Church in 2016, He sees a small group of people who would have a desire in their hearts to be righteous above all else, to live clean and upright and walk uprightly in the fear of God, and that He would see that there is a remnant still today in this country. Amen. Oh, there's lots of good churches, but not nearly as many as there used to be. We cannot continue to copy the idolatrous lives of our nation. America has been greatly weakened. Indiscretion, infiltration, idolatry, immorality. All because of indifference to this book. Ignorance is one thing, but indifference is a whole nother. If I don't know, well then, that's not going to keep me out of hell, because God has revealed Himself to you in the creation. The Bible says that man is without excuse when it comes to salvation. But ignorance, as far as growing and walking in righteousness, ignorance is one thing. But God says, now that you know, you do right, and it will strengthen you. If you be indifferent and ignore it again, it's just going to continue to weaken you and everybody around you. After all, we can't expect the lost heathen. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? Isn't that good? Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? Yeah. Don't be shy now. You never shy before. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I'm American. I'm glad I live in this country. I've lived in other countries and I've seen. And many of you have too. At least visit. I'm glad I live in this country. But this book is not going to change. And righteousness is our only hope. Righteousness is our hope. And if you're saved today, God has a perfect will for your life to serve Him and do His work. And through that, you can strengthen, believe it or not, your whole nation a little bit more. Even you. Even you. These three ladies are going to go live in Arkansas for 6 weeks. And they're going to walk uprightly. Amen. But you know, really, I wish you could hear Miss Laconia's testimony of her dad and having that old King James Bible in their house and reading it and loving it and standing by it. You know, that's what we're lacking. That generation right there. Amen. They feared God.
Yeah. Amen.
But this generation today, It's more like, dear God, help. They don't know God, but when they find out that even Christians that do get saved, they're just indifferent to His Word. We can make a difference. I believe that. If we'll stop being indifferent to what God says, get involved in His will and His work. One of these days I'm going to have these ladies give some testimonies. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Jesus.